And we are live.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm good. It's been a very lazy kind of work day for me. I'm prepping for my work week and getting some things cut and prepped and a little sewing here and there.
So you're like working full time.
More or less, yes. But I mean, full time, but not with a super strict schedule.
Gotcha.
I kind of wake up when I want to and then I work, and then when I'm done, I'm done. With, you know, making sure that I still meet my deadline.
Yeah. Interesting.
How are you this morning? Well, not morning. It's afternoon.
I'm fine. Hanging out. Hanging around. Had a nice morning. I painted my nails. I watched some dumb stuff on the internet, you know.
Watched some dumb stuff. Are you a YouTuber?
Oh, yeah.
I watch lots of YouTube. Okay. Do you have your favorites? I don't really go on YouTube except if I want to watch music videos or something.
Have my favorites. I have my guilty pleasure favorites. And like guilty pleasure, because it's like people who I really shouldn't be giving my views to.
Well, we all have those.
Yeah.
And sometimes you need that escape. You need that guilty pleasure. You need that to make yourself feel better.
Yeah. Talking to some friends. I don't know. Nothing too exciting. Low-key morning. We got the light bulb in our kitchen fixed, which was
very exciting. Thank you, landlord.
Yeah. I don't know. I might start crocheting, but my nails are wet. I was going to do that. Then I was like, I want to paint my nails. So I painted my nails.
Nails always take longer to dry than I think they do.
Yeah.
I mean, you go to the nail salon and have that, whatever that light is, or in the fan or whatever. But here we don't have that. So they always take way longer to actually set and dry.
Yeah, I just nicked one. So I just did a touch up.
No.
But I did a touch up before I came here. And now I'm trying not to touch anything.
Gotcha. Okay.
It's not working great.
Hands free.
Yeah.
I still have this nasty polish on from when I did mine a couple weeks ago for our socially distanced spirit week. I was using that. The stuff
I gave you?
Yeah. Not well, I tried the stuff from Anna and I tried the stuff from you. And it just was not doing very well. I also wonder if it's the cotton swab things that I have. Let me show you.
It might also be that, because it might absorb too much of it. Oh, I hate those.
Yeah. Okay. You hate these. Okay.
Which one? Are they the round?
No, they're not.
I hate the square.
Okay, maybe that's my problem.
I hate the square ones.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll check on Amazon or something and see if I can get some new ones, because that was not doing it for me. I was like, is this even? No, this is not working. This is not working. And I don't want to use all of this solution and just waste it.
Yeah. But we're going to need a trip to the drugstore soon, one of us, because we should get more nail polish remover. We should get some more alcohol for disinfecting things.
Rubbing alcohol.
Not drinking
alcohol. Which we are not opposed to that either.
No. But that's not what you get at the drugstore.
Just so we can clarify. Anyway, hi. Hello. Your morning has been good. It's good to see you. I feel like I haven't really seen much of you today. I've been squirreled away in my room working.
But when you get to work more, it's like, I don't need to sit here and bug you. I'm just like, boop, boop.
Well, luckily this work is not too strenuous and I can like work and talk at the same time. Unless I'm going through the list of orders and making sure that I'm giving the customer what they're actually asking for. Because that can take a little brain power. But other than that,
All right, I have a question, Edwin. When am I going to get a mask out of this? I will pay you! For all my dinners cooked.
Okay. All right. I'll get you a special mask. We'll go through the fabric later and you can pick out what you want.
I'm so not picky.
No, we have all the options. So why not be picky? All
right.
If you can be picky, it's not that serious. Come on.
When I've been out since the CDC changed the recommendations, I've worn a face covering. But it would be nice to have like an official mask that is mine.
We'll take care of you.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Edwin.
Do you have any updates? We haven't done really updates much lately.
I know. I don't know. I'm not sure I have any updates. Hanging out. Feeling pretty good overall.
Well, I don't know what's going on over with you, but your energy has been very, shall I say, centered? Mm-hmm. You seem to have found a calmness within you, even if you aren't always upbeat.
Yeah.
I've noticed that in your energy.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Should we... So I stumbled across something on Instagram.
Yes.
That I think my friend Gretchen posted it originally, or was the first person in my feed to post it.
Okay, so let's talk about what this Instagram account is, because this was news to me. You brought this account to me, and I immediately fell in love.
Yeah.
I looked, but she has over a million followers. So clearly there are a lot of people out there who do know who she is.
No, I'm 90% sure she has crossed the million follower threshold just in the past few days.
Oh, okay.
Because
a lot of people, I mean, it, you know, social media has had an enormous spike for obvious reasons.
Yeah. So her name is...
Well, her Instagram account name... Her Instagram
is by Marie Andrew.
And her name is Marie Andrew.
Yeah.
M-A-R-I Andrew.
Yeah. She's a writer, artist, and speaker based in New York City. She has a book called, or is...
I think it's out already.
Okay. Has released a book called Am I There Yet? And her Instagram is an assortment of things, but it's a lot of watercolor drawings and poetry. It's an assortment of things.
It's very uplifting, everything. It's very colorful, cutesy, fun. Not the drawings and things are not super, quote-unquote, artistic. They're just very kind of honest representations of kind of life and things. And to me, her Instagram, when I was going through it, was very just kind of raw and real and to the point and just kind of...
Thoughtful.
Thoughtful. And... so anyway.
And her most recent 6 posts are love notes to New York City. And today I'm going to read number 2 and we're going to talk about it. So this is from a post on April 7th, 2020 by Marie Andrew. Love notes to NYC, number 2. Before I lived here, I would escape to NYC whenever I was feeling stressed or overwhelmed somewhere else. New York has seen it all. It is a comforting dose of humility to step into a city where your issues and your joys are a teeny tiny fraction of the city's enormous landscape. My sadness would bend into the collective sadness, so it was no longer mine alone, and therefore it felt manageable. The city was built to hold lonely people on park benches, in theater seats, at restaurant bars, on the back seat of the subway car with the Times crossword puzzle half filled by another lonely someone you'll never meet. Feeling alone and sad in New York feels right because you're about to make great use of its finest resources. The noise that neutralizes anxiety, the cafes that offer instant and anonymous community, and the millions of windows looking like a vigil with millions of candles. They remind you of your place in the city and its history. Small. It's the same lesson you learned from the mountains. You are tiny. You can control nothing. Your time on Earth is a blip. And yet, look what majesty you get to be a part of. Your life is a miracle and a gift. Please revere accordingly. The city says your problems aren't that big. And nothing I haven't seen before. But here I saved you a spot. Pull up a chair. I've got all...
I have so many thoughts running through my head. I relate to this on so many levels.
Yeah. It just melted my heart. I mean, all 6 of these in its own way did, because it captures the New York I know. It captures the New York I love. It captures the New York I look forward to being a part of beyond the walls of our apartment again. But it also captures the pride I feel in being a New Yorker. And after this, I am officially a New Yorker.
Why do you say that?
It's heartbreaking to me that experiencing a tragedy in a place makes you feel connected to it.
Continue. I know where you're going. Yes.
And after experiencing this here, there's nowhere I'll feel more connected to.
Yeah.
The connection of this, the connection of this city, of this home that has been strengthened so profoundly... Yeah, and that doesn't capture this message at all, because it's about the loneliness you experience in New York and the loneliness we all experience in New York, because in a city of this size, that's just inevitable.
Have you felt, can you kind of talk about the difference between feeling lonely here compared to maybe other places that you lived? Or do you feel like the poem kind of captures that?
I think the poem captures it.
I think so, too, now that I think about that.
I mean, it's the way New York City seems to still wrap you up.
When I lived in D.C., I used to take a couple hours before I would go into work, when I was dressing, and I would stop at the Starbucks across the street, and I would just sit in there for a couple of hours and just hang out. There was some, there's something about, and I don't do that as much here, just because I'm busier and I have a different life here than I did there. But I would really enjoy being around people, but not having to talk to them.
And being anonymous.
And just being anonymous, just hanging out there, being around other humans' energy. And that, because I get that now on the daily, just being in New York. DC is a big city. Well, it has a lot of people, but it's not New York.
And comparing the energy of New York to any other city is
yes,
damn near impossible, because
at least in America. There are other similar cities outside of America. But
that's true.
Yeah, definitely in America, for me, New York is, it's that place that wraps you and yet leaves you alone and sometimes feeds you to the wolves.
Inevitably.
Inevitably.
But I heard someone say, I don't know, some artist on Instagram that I follow, a different one, was saying something like, was answering a question, oh, should I come to New York? And he said, you should only come to New York if you want to do something, if you have something to do.
That's what I tell people.
That's the advice, because you have to not only want to come here and want to be here, but you have to have something you want to do here.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. And it could be anything.
Oh, literally anything.
Anything. And that's another beautiful thing about New York. But you have to have something to do. You can't just be like, oh, I'm going to New York. I want to live there. It'll kick your ass.
Now, this is coming from the perspective of people who did not grow up here. I would be very curious to have a conversation with somebody who they grew up in New York City.
That's such a good point. Because I grew up close, but I did not grow up here.
And I clearly didn't grow up here either.
Yeah.
I tell people, listen, you can't come to New York unless you have a goal. You don't necessarily have to have a clear plan, because New York, I heard somebody use this great example describing New York, comparing it to LA, and mm-hmm. I think it's a good example. New York is like a raging river. You walk out onto the sidewalk and the energy just pushes you. You have to move with the current. It might take you uptown, it might take you downtown, it might take you east-west. Eventually, you're going to hit something. Mm-hmm. You're going to run into something, run into somebody, and you are going to be presented with an opportunity. That's kind of how New York works to me. LA, on the other hand, is like a giant pond. You have to find a rowboat, you have to get your oars, and you have to pick a direction, and then you have to row and row and row and row until you get to your destination and hope that it sticks. In New York, if you keep on going out and about and meeting people and working and hustling and improving your craft and improving yourself, eventually you're going to get something. At least in my experience and from what I've seen of people.
I think that's totally true. I think the scale of something is different for everybody in every field.
Agreed.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
On the other hand, though, as much as I love New York is not for everyone. New York is a very specific place mm-hmm. with a very specific kind of life. Mm-hmm. And it's not for everybody.
I agree with you. I'm not sure I want to add to it, because that makes me...
It takes this conversation in a different direction.
Yeah.
Have there been times where you have felt more lonely here than other places?
Absolutely. I think there have definitely been moments where I found myself where it felt like everyone was running in different directions than me and away from me. Does that make sense? Because everyone is so busy here, it sometimes feels like there's not necessarily time or energy to turn towards each other and support each other. Not to say I don't have wonderful, supportive friends, but there have definitely been moments where I've felt, because there's so much else to do and so much else going on and so many other people, that I've had experiences of me trying to pull people closer than and hold people closer than they're willing to be held. That's an effort thing too, though. I don't know. Does that make sense?
I think I'm understanding what you're saying. How then, once you kind of found yourself in that position, how did you go about navigating that and working through that?
It was a combination of managing my own expectations of other people and stepping back just enough to not feel so deeply hurt by that turn away or that slight distance. Finding a way for a relationship to be more of a two-way street. I think that's a lot of my struggles in relationships, is it sometimes feels like a one-way, especially in not familial relationships, but like friendships and romantic relationships. But that's sometimes because I put expectations on other people, but also demanding a certain level of treatment. A combination of like communicating my needs and desires better, managing my expectations of other people, and just stepping back and seeing like what people do on their own.
And then not allowing their behavior after you've gotten to that point to make you feel inferior, and you can kind of move forward past that and go, you know what? Okay.
Yep.
That's what that is. Moving on.
Yes. That's what that is. Yeah. But I think that's some of the strength New York can give you too.
My next question for you, was going to be, how do you feel like New York has changed you for the better?
It has solidified my independence on a scale that I can't fathom. It has also allowed me to find these places to be soft.
Ooh, elaborate on that.
I mean, it's really S Factor and the women I've met there. This very masculine, very harsh city, in the midst of all that, I spend 6+ hours a week in the world of the divine feminine, finding that balance with that fierce independence and strength. Same question for you. How has New York changed you?
You know what? New York has... Okay, so a couple of things in terms of New York and my relationship with it. To answer your question, New York has given me a lot of confidence. Mm-hmm. It is... Going back to a previous episode of things I'm thankful for, being allowed to just be. I'm thankful to allow to just be. And New York has done that for me. It has embraced who I am, what I'm about, my goals, my ambition, my drive, my very strong personality. Mm-hmm. It has embraced that, and it has made me very confident in who I am with that person. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I do feel like New York is... where I have, at least for a time, have always meant to be, always meant to end up. I will never forget the first time I came to New York, coming out of Penn Station, walking out onto the street, smelling the streets and feeling the energy of the city, and I immediately knew in my bones, this is my home. Mm-hmm. These are my people, this is my energy, this is my city.
Yeah.
So even though it has changed me, I think this place has always been a destiny for me. Mm-hmm. And if anything, it's more of a coming home rather than this city is... Am I making sense?
Oh, it totally makes sense. It was something you were always manifesting, something... There's a Hebrew expression, which is meant to be, mm-hmm. but in a cosmic sense it's beshert.
How would you use that in a sentence?
It's beshert. You coming to New York beshert.
Yes.
Is meant to be. So it is written in the stars. I think there's a root of written in, like the root of that word is written in Hebrew or something like that. So just there's a cosmic sense that it was always meant to be for you, this city, this place.
Is there a part of New York City that you love the most or like more than others, or maybe a place that you like to go to commune and just be and exist and kind of maybe recalibrate yourself?
I can think of 3 places. The Lower East Side, it's where I feel most connected to my heritage and my history and my family.
The Tenement Museum,
Russ and Daughters, there's shopping down there. It's just this, the Lower East Side of Manhattan. Could walk there endlessly.
I want you to take me there. When this is over. I would love for you to take me there and give me a tour, the Edina tour.
Yes.
Okay.
It's so good. It will, we're going to eat pickles and bialys and smoked fish. and it'll change your life. Great. Oh my god, I'm so excited. So the Lower East Side, this part of South Brooklyn in general, downtown Brooklyn, Prospect Heights, Prospect Lefferts Gardens, Park Slope, this area of Brooklyn, I feel very connected to, and I feel connected to different parts for different reasons, but Prospect Park is one of those places of Zen for me, and I'd say downtown Brooklyn, the promenade, is also one of those places.
The promenade.
It's downtown the Brooklyn. Waterfront where the carousel is.
Oh, a Dumbo area. Dumbo, yeah. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that waterfront is also.
I still need to go there.
It's magical.
I mean, I see it every day when I used to go to work. Remember those days?
Yeah, those are my places. What about you?
One of my favorite things to do in New York is summertime. Mm-hmm. So I work in Midtown, Garment District area, mm-hmm. and on my lunch break, my favorite thing to do is in the summertime, walk up the street to Bryant Park, fingers crossed, the lawn is open, and I like to just sit in the very center, take my shoes off, pull out my lunch, and just be. It is a beautiful spot. There are people just hanging out, talking, laughing, families, people playing frisbee. There's sometimes music going. It's just a wonderful space to be in where everyone else is enjoying the space and the city. And mm-hmm. I love that energy. As touristy as it is, I really enjoy the Brooklyn Bridge.
Oh, I do too. We've talked about it. Yeah. I really do too.
Because it's the iconic bridge. And then you have this beautiful skyline.
Yeah. Or anything.
Yeah. No, I think it's been a good.
I think it's been
good conversation. Yeah. It's been very. Whenever we do these, I'm not going to speak for Adina, but whenever we do these, we kind of talk about the subject and we kind of on our own kind of mull over the subject and what kind of how we're going to frame it and
this love letter to New York.
Yes, and
we never really know where the conversation
exactly. This has been a road of self-discovery for me. Mm-hmm. Within these conversations, I'm learning about myself. I'm learning about you, about this.
Yeah, totally.
So, anyway.
I invite you to check out the love letters that Marie Andrew has on her Instagram.
Yes. Go follow her. She's fabulous. Before we go, do you have any recommendations?
I'm on to Veronica Mars season 2.
I am on to Veronica Mars, I think episode 5.
Hell yes.
I don't even know what episode I'm on.
Enjoying?
Oh, yeah. It's great. I enjoy it. But it's going to take me a little bit longer to get through it, I think, course. Than you. My recommendation is actually a memoir. Interesting story about this book. It's called I'm Not Myself These Days by Josh Kilmer Purcell. I came across this memoir when I was working in Utah. Mm-hmm. I wanted some new books because I was dressing backstage and had a lot of downtime. So I went to the Borders or Barnes & Noble, I don't know, remember what it's called, and just bought a bunch of books. And this was one of them. And it's been one of my favorite books ever since. So that's my recommendation.
What's it about? One sentence?
What's it about? It is about a New York City drag queen falls in love. Mm. And the beautiful tragedy that ensues.
How appropriate.
Yeah.
Beautiful, dark, twisted fantasy. New York. I don't know if I said that. Is New York.
Yeah.
A book about it. I love it. Well, that's our show.
If you're enjoying our podcast, please subscribe, rate, and share us.
Follow us on Instagram at Diaries of a COVID-19 Affair.
You can email us at diariesofacovid19affair@gmail.com.
Find some pleasure today.
Bye.